So today we're looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Thank you, Eden, for reading so wonderfully. And if anybody struggles with depression, probably this is not the sermon for you. But we're going to go there this morning a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Wanted to start off with a phenomenon. I'm not sure how many people are impacted by this. I was at Central a couple days ago trying to get some bottled water for my kids and I. We had pizza for our supper and decided I needed some bottled water. And you would think in such a big church they would have bottled water in the fridge, right? You think that. So I went to the fridge and I didn't see the bottled water. I came back, started complaining, and I think Artis told me, you did not look properly. And then they told me about this concept called man eyes. Anybody has man eyes in the audience? It's when you look, but you can't see it. And your wife or some other woman has to tell you you're not looking properly. Like you have to go and look again. This time, take off your man eyes and look. So I went back to the fridge and I looked. And what do you know? The water materialized out of nowhere. It was there. Man eyes. I don't know. But sometimes when we read the book of Ecclesiastes, we may read it with man eyes. You know, we see what we want to see and the parts that we don't want to see. We don't even notice that it's there. So as Seventh-day Adventists, most times when we read Ecclesiastes, we're really looking for two things. Number one, we look and we find our doctrine for the dead, right? The state of the dead. We love Ecclesiastes because it tells us plainly the dead know nothing, right? It says there in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 that a living dog is better than a dead lion, correct? Amen? We go there as Seventh-day Adventists. That's what we see. We see that. And then the part that we really love is Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We go straight to the conclusion and where the author says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And what's the conclusion, Seventh-day Adventists? Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the what? The whole duty of man. We look at Ecclesiastes through man eyes. We get the high points, we get the conclusion, but we kind of doze off during the discussion because, to tell the truth, the discussion is pretty repetitive. Number one, he keeps repeating himself over and over and over again, and after a while, Ecclesiastes can become very depressing, tainted as it is by an abiding nihilistic tendency. In the mind of the author of Ecclesiastes, everything is vain. You know that. You don't have to worry about what you eat or all of these things because we're all going to die anyway, right? You know friends like that, right? Why do I need to eat my vegetables? The vegetarian and the meat eater die anyway, right? You know, why do I have to worry about smoking and all of these things? I know people who have smoked and they live much longer than people who count in their calories. See them counting their calories and running miles, getting up early and doing all of these things. It's all vain. It doesn't really make a difference. Fact, that word vanity, vain, hebel, which points to two things in the Hebrew. One, it talks about something that is wispy. It's vaporous. It's immaterial. Or number two, it talks about something that is meaningless. Have you ever experienced the meaninglessness of life before? Have you ever really thought about it before? I know some of us, the only way we can find comfort in life is just to live it, not to think about it. Amen, amen. And here is Pastor Brian forcing you to start thinking about life. Why did I come to church this morning? Hebel is used 38 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. Compare that with 35 times in the entire rest of the Old Testament. Did you catch that? 38 in one little book. 35 in the rest of the entire Old Testament. Author says it's all vain. It's all meaningless. But the question today that this drives us to is, what are we to do with this vapor of a life that we live? What are we to do with this vapor of a life that we live? Some of us can get comfort from not really thinking about what we're doing, you know? Because if you really think about it, what is love? What is life? Somebody asks, what is the meaning of life? And if you're a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Rest of the Galaxy fan, you know the meaning of life, right? The answer is, nobody? 52. Come on now. Nobody. Oh, wow. Sorry, I just outed myself as the only nerd in the room. Praise God. Amen. Meaning of life is that should be funny, but nobody got it. Amen. All right. Moving on. You know, do we find comfort in life from not really thinking about it? When you think about it, you know, scientists will tell you, what is love but just a chemical reaction? It's not really real. When you really break it down to the basic components, nothing that we have is real. I'm afraid of flying. Anybody else is afraid of flying here? The irony of it is, as much as we're afraid of flying and we feel so secure on the solid earth, don't you feel good when you're standing on solid earth and then you think about it? I'm actually flying, whether or not I want to. I live on a planet that's racing through space, going around a sun that's also going around some center of some galaxy, flying and zipping and zooming. You know, things aren't necessarily the way they appear to be. But many times, the only way we can enjoy life is if we don't examine it too closely. I know many of us have been in relationships that looked good on the outside. Maybe I should look up at this point in time. Looked great. But you had this nagging feeling that things weren't the way they appeared to be. And you ignored it, right? You ignored it. Why? Because you were in L-O-V-E, love. Until reality smacked you upside the head. Reality has a way of killing the romance that we have in life. And so many people, they don't want to know. So don't tell us. Don't be showing us no videos about how many worms are in pork. We don't want to know, okay? Keep that to yourself. Maybe Plato was right that the unimagined life, the unexamined life, isn't worth living. But today in our society, there are so many questions, so much to be known that we really have gotten to the point where we may have a case of indigestion, information indigestion. And to be happy today, many times, ignorance becomes bliss. What are we supposed to do with this vapor of a life that we live? Ecclesiastes challenges the wisdom paradigm that we normally used to tell people what they ought to do in life. You know, Ecclesiastes is a different book, and if I can get a minute to explain it and then give you the point of the sermon, we'll be done. See, Ecclesiastes has to be contrasted with Proverbs. There are some Christians today who are very proverbial. I was told that Ben Carson loves Proverbs. You know that. He talks about it every day. Thinks that saved his life. He reads it every day. Proverbs gives us a picture of life. This is the way you ought to live. These are the norms you ought to follow. Right? Proverbs tells us if you don't have anything to eat, that's because you are lazy. Amen? Come on now. Talk the truth. Proverbs said if you keep folding your arms and a little bit more sleep, you're going to end up and on the streets there. And you can hear your parents repeating Proverbs to you right now, right? Because most of us Seventh-day Adventists, we like Proverbs, you know. We like Proverbs. We like the conventional wisdom that says this is the way life works. If you work hard, you will be rewarded. You know, don't keep company with an angry man, lest you catch his anger as well. That's Proverbs. But we understand that life isn't always that way. You know, life isn't always that way. In fact, the wise men, when they argue, if you hear two wise people arguing, one will give a proverb and the other gives another proverb. They go back and forth just arguing principle versus principle. You've heard it before, sermons and other things. But that's not how Ecclesiastes does it. Ecclesiastes gives you a proverb and then examines that proverb in everyday life and shows you the exceptions to that proverb. That when you really look at it, what is the difference between a righteous man and an unrighteous man when death doesn't discriminate? Are you hearing me today? We ask ourselves the question, really, what's the difference between going to church and not going to church when in the end, death doesn't discriminate? The same faith awaits those who believe in God and those who do not believe in God. Nobody says amen to that. What do we do? See, it's easy to be swallowed up by depression when we begin to think of it all. That maybe sometimes the things that we believe can feel as scripted as a fortune cookie. And you know it, because when you are in your, going through your problems and people give you those fortune cookie sayings, my brother, just pray about it. Amen? Right? Have you talked to Jesus? Come on now, you know, whatever situation you're going through, Jesus is the answer, right? They tell you these things. Work a little harder. Did you try talking to them? Did you use Matthew 18, right? Did you do Matthew 18? Have you ever been there before? You know, your kids not at church, they say, well, that's because you never sent them to the church school. They say that, right? No, I'm talking to myself. Or if you send them to the church school, it's because you never had devotions with them every single morning. You skipped a morning, and that's why they don't believe in God anymore. Sometimes our beliefs can feel as scripted as a fortune cookie. And when we experience certain things in life, it could be traumatic, or it could be triumphant, or it could just be the regular everyday grind from life, we begin to wonder if what we believe is really real. It's really real. And Ecclesiastes decides we're going to question it and see what we get from it. So Solomon does this. He questions wealth. He questions women. He questions work. He even questions wisdom. He says, you think you could escape into all of these things and find happiness, but none of them really work. And some people say, well, that's because you're not with God. Because if you're with God, everything is happy. Amen? If you're with God, everything is sunny and bright. And some people would even put it to say that what Solomon is talking about is life lived apart from God. When he says under the sun, he's talking about life lived apart from God. But the truth is, he is talking about everyday life. The reality of life stinks. When you examine it, it doesn't make sense. If you really think about it, it doesn't add up. And if you're not careful, you can fall into a depression that will leave you just laying in bed all day long, because what does it matter? You're getting up to work to pay bills, and at the end of the day, you just have enough money to pay to get you to work and to pay your cable bill and your phone bill and all of these bills, and then the church takes whatever is left over. Amen. Amen. What does it matter? So, maybe the secret today is, have you ever heard of, there's a solution that they get when you mix water with cornstarch. And it creates this really cool thing. You should try this with your kids. Maybe some adults would like that too. It's a liquid, right? But if you apply quick pressure to it, it behaves like a solid. And if you go on YouTube, you see people actually running across this thing. You could fill a whole swimming pool with it. Two parts cornstarch to one part water. You get this interesting liquid that's in a category called non-Newtonian liquids. And really, ketchup is your probably, or ketchup, whichever way you Americans say it. You know, tomato ketchup, Heinz 52, amen. It's also a Newtonian liquid. It doesn't really behave like water, you know. And if you've ever tried shaking ketchup out, you never quite get the right amount. It's stuck up in there, or it just all comes out on your plate. Yeah, that's non-Newtonian. It's depending on the pressure that you apply to it, you get a different reaction. Maybe this vapor of a life is like that. If you try to grab it, it disappears. If you try to grasp it, it disappears, because that's not what it was made for. But when you understand that life is a gift from God, are you still with me? You try to grab it, it's not there. You try to hold on to it and secure it, and you work and you wrestle with it, it just evaporates like a vapor. But when you handle it as a gift from God, then the meaningless suddenly has meaning. Somebody said, marriage is just a piece of paper. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter, right? But so is money. Money is just a piece of paper. Amen. It matters. It's your perspective. It's how you address it. And so the wise man Solomon decides that, yes, we have to go beyond the romance of life and see it for what it really is. If we try to grasp onto wealth, it evaporates. Women or relationships, it evaporates. If you try to grasp onto work, many people define themselves by what they do, it evaporates. If you try to even grasp onto wisdom, you can become a fool in your wisdom. It all evaporates. But when we look at our time here on earth as a gift from God, yes, fleeting, but beautiful nonetheless. This is what Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4 says. Yes, there's no difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. We all die. We got that. But there's a difference between being dead and being alive. Because if you're alive, you still have hope.
Amen.
You still have hope. So what is it that you're going through today? What has robbed you of your joy in life? What has kind of been nagging you in your mind? Something that you can't seem to resolve, right? Doesn't quite fit. Are you still looking at the news and wondering, which country are we living in? What world are we living in? Is this the way it's supposed to work? And all the advice people used to tell you about what, you know, what works. Speak the truth. The truth shall set you free. Remember that? You remember that? And you see, though, that's not really how the world works. Solomon says, whatever you find, the madness that you find in this life, you can have some semblance of joy from the things that we do if we take them as a gift from God. Verse 7 says, for God has already accepted your works. God ordained for you to be in relationship, to have a job, amen. He gave you certain gifts to do certain things that make you happy. He gave you family, annoying as they may be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm the only one with an annoying family, by the way. Right? But that's your joy, right there. Fleeting as it is, wispy as it is, vaporous as it is, when dedicated to God, all these things get their meaning, their proper meaning. Non-Newtonian physics. So when you read through Ecclesiastes, maybe we need to take off our man eyes and look at it, life through God's eyes. Through God's eyes. You know, I one thought that always blesses me when I'm confronted by the depression that life is. God sees every sparrow that falls. Did you catch that?
Amen.
The things that we don't count still counts to God.
Yes.
And so God sees your situation. He understands that your condition may not align with any law. All right, you're just different. You know, your family may not be the average family. People ask me how many people are in my family, how many siblings I have. I said, it depends. You have to count different generations and different branches of the family tree. I'm the only family like that, you know. Everybody has a normal mother and father and 2.5 kids, a picket fence, white picket fence, and a dog. No cats. Amen. No cats. Amen. But God has blessed each and every one of us with our life. We can be grateful for what he has given, knowing that in eternity, our perspective, what we've learned here from this short period, will help us to not only be of service here on this earth, but in the earth to come. So let's pray as we close. Father God, somebody's struggling today to understand the meaning of life. Maybe we have felt this consolation from not examining, from not digging deeper, because we know and we recognize and we intuitively feel that the deeper we go, we end up with more questions rather than answers. Beneath those questions, though, Lord, we see a new perspective developing where our life is not valuable in and of itself, but is valuable as an expression of the gift that you've given to each and every one of us. So help us to live life with gratitude. And help us, Lord, to find joy in the things that you've ordained for us to do on this short journey on this earth. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.